The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and are not those of Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements of any radio show programs or products mentioned on air, on our website, social media accounts and marketing materials. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.
Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorantos.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show. I'm your host, Sorantos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are very important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe in my heart that a song is a story. The Songwriter Show is broadcast live on number one rated Pesmo Radio and has listeners in all 26 countries in the world and every state in the U.S. The station is also licensed with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and SoundExchange and has partnerships throughout the music industry, including iHeartRadio, with exposure to over 300 million listeners. Tonight's guest is Malcolm Roberts. Malcolm was born and raised in Toronto, Ontario, Canada on September 15, 1997. He follows and reports on various sports ranging from basketball and football to professional wrestling. Malcolm is a sports enthusiast whose dream is to one day host the world's biggest sports debate.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Malcolm. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. I'm so happy to have you on the show, man. I'm a big sports nut. I listen to sports talk radio all the time. In the Chicago area, we have The Score, we have ESPN. So it's great. It's great to talk to someone about sports, man.
Yeah, no, I love sports. I follow ESPN heavily. I follow The Score heavily. You know, they're big motivational pillars for me to keep reporting on sports. So I love it. I feel like sports is a story too. So
yeah, that's cool. So what is your number one preference? Football, basketball, or wrestling? If you could rank them for me.
Ooh. Right now I think it's going football, basketball, then wrestling. At one point, wrestling, football, basketball, and so on and so forth. They're always interchanging. So
you know, it's an interesting show. I started watching, I don't know if you've seen The Young Rock on NBC. It's interesting. It's like a story of him when he was younger, how his family was in wrestling, all that. Have you seen it at all?
I haven't seen it, but I do know of his story. It's a remarkable one, to say the very least. So
yeah, when you get a chance, I don't know if you have Hulu or something, but you can catch all the shows. It's like 20 minutes. It's very entertaining, I have to say.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely check that out. The Rock is a fantastic personality, professional wrestler, actor. You know, he's amazing. So yeah, I definitely check it out.
Absolutely. All right. So I'm from Chicago. You're from Toronto. So I'm going to ask you who your favorite football team is and then your favorite basketball team. And I won't hold the answer against you.
Okay. So for my favorite football team, I am a huge New York Football Giants fan. I've loved the organization ever since the early 2000s. And basketball, I'm a huge Toronto Raptors fan.
Okay.
Born and raised in Toronto, so that one's kind of obvious.
Yeah, so you and Drake, did you guys enjoy the championship? Who enjoyed it more, Drake or you?
To be completely honest with you, I actually slept through the final game of the NBA championship.
No!
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That was so funny. There is a girl that we know that got married and moved to Toronto. And we were at her house for her pre-wedding, whatever, during the final game. It was, the last final game where they won.
Yeah.
So I got to watch it with a bunch of rowdy Toronto fans, but it was cool.
That's amazing. No, yeah, Toronto is huge into sports now. The Raptors are the pillar there. The Leafs are doing their thing. So Toronto's a hot spot for sports right now.
Yeah. And even though I was spoiled with MJ, I still love the underdog story. So I actually liked it when Toronto won, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was a refreshing look. Every 5 to 6 years, you see one of those teams that doesn't really have a chance at the beginning of the season, you know, catch the right momentum, go on a run and pull off the unthinkable and knock off a perennial dynasty like the Golden State Warriors. So it's always fun to see.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about when you're doing your show and you're doing your thing. What gets you the most excited about it? Is it a certain day of the week, a certain guest, a certain place? What excites you the most about it?
I guess the thing that excites me the most about my show is the fan interactment. We have live emailers coming throughout the show, emailing different questions, debating with me, going back and forth. It's really fun. They get really into it. It's an extraordinary experience every week. So that's what really gets me up for my show.
Cool. Funny, as you're saying that, I get a fan here, obviously from LA, because he said I should cut you off that you didn't say that the Los Angeles team is your favorite football team.
Yeah, I do have respect for the Los Angeles teams. Both yeah. The Chargers and the Rams are doing fantastic. So
yeah, he's a Rams fan, but yeah, they have two teams, man. That's kind of unfair.
Yeah, they have two teams in a lot of sports, actually. Baseball, basketball, football, I think hockey as well.
Yeah. Well, I kind of consider Toronto like the Chicago of Canada. We're both in the middle. And I think we both get disrespected, and nobody thinks that good things happen here, sports-wise, music-wise. So we're kind of underdogs, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree. This is where a lot of the lesser names, you know, unless you hit it real big like a Drake or a, I know MJ wasn't from Chicago, but he really was the one that put Chicago on the map NBA-wise.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, that unless you're those two, it's a different situation. But, yeah, I can completely agree. Toronto and Chicago, complete underdog.
Yeah, and MJ put the NBA on the map, too, especially internationally, I thought.
Yeah, he was a real game changer for the NBA. Without Michael Jordan, the NBA looked very different today. He was that international breakthrough star, like a Mike Tyson, that really broke the international borders and allowed the NBA to expand into those other countries.
Yeah. Did you see The Last Dance? I thought that was fascinating to get to see the... I mean, most of that we already knew, but it was kind of cool to relive that again. Did you get to see that by any chance?
Yeah, I did. I watched every episode as it came out. It really worked for me because it came out the Monday or the Sunday. I can't remember which day prior to my show. So it was always an ongoing debate on the show because a lot of my fans actually aren't huge fans of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, no, I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
Someone told me that you love the song 7 Years by Lucas Graham. Is that true?
Yes, I love that song. That is an amazing song.
That is an amazing song. I love that song too. What do you love most about it?
I think the lyrics. I think this song was a perfect blend of rhythm and lyrics, and it really speaks to you, at least to me, on my soul. Like, really reaches down into my soul and makes me face some of the things that I may not want to face, and it really is refreshing to be able to experience that. So that song really does a number on me.
Yeah, okay. If you could pick an artist and you cannot give me as an answer that you could have on your show, who's the one artist you would want on your show?
That's actually a really good question. I think either maybe Snoop Dogg or Lil Wayne, just because I know how big sports fans they are.
Yeah.
I've seen them on other shows where they can really get into a debate. And if you follow my show at all, you know that I love to debate. So that's a huge thing there.
Yeah, I think they're both cool dudes. Snoop Dogg's hilarious, man.
He is hilarious.
I love people that are authentic, you know? And
right?
I think whether you're in the sports world, music, whatever your thing is, you know, in the old days, I watched some of these documentaries and, you know, it was like, oh, you don't know anything about that guy. And it's all, and now it's like, we're probably at the other extreme, but you could tell who's faking it, man. A lot of these people are just so full of it. They're just, they have their Instagram face, and then you could tell it's nothing like their real persona.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. There's a lot of, I'm not going to name drop anybody, but there's quite a few of them out there where you can kind of just, you can just feel it and sense it off of them that they're not being their true selves. But Snoop is definitely not one of them.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy that you could have a beer with or something else, and he'd be the same exact guy he's on camera, which is kind of cool.
Exactly. You're always going to get the OG Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. And, you know, in all honesty, I try to be like that myself, too, because I just think the thing I've never understood is if you have this fake image or persona, or you're a nice guy, but on stage you're singing death metal and you're yelling at people or whatever.
Yeah.
Man, I would hate to, like, get into a role all the time. But to me, it's the coolest thing to just be yourself. And if someone stops you on the street or takes a picture or all of a sudden you're in like a flash mob and you're on, you know, some viral, you're yourself. It's not like you're going to have to be explaining, well, you know, I have pink hair, but in that clip it's brown. It's just you.
Yeah. And I can completely agree with that 100%. Like, I always try to live my absolute truth, just like you said, just because I feel like it is more exciting to just be you and really live the way you want to live and do the things you want to do. That's the way to go.
Yeah. So obviously I could tell with your voice, with your demeanor, that you're pretty experienced, but for someone just getting into the business of broadcasting or being a host, what advice would you give them if they tell you that they're nervous before a performance or a show?
Oh, that's thank you so much for that question. That's an amazing question. I think the best advice that I could give to somebody, is literally just be yourself on the air. Just literally live your truth. You want to be comfortable on the air, and in order to be comfortable, you have to be you. That's the only way that people will relate to you, because a lot of people can actually smell, you know, a phony a mile away. So you want to be as authentic as possible. So it ties into what we were just talking about.
Yeah. Do you teach broadcasting at all or not really?
No, not at the moment. I'm kind of just focused on talking sports. I do a bit of acting on the side as well. So that's kind of my domain right now, is acting and broadcasting. But it's something I'm very interested in though.
Okay.
What about you? Question. Do you teach broadcasting, just out of curiosity?
You know what? I do not. My goal is, when I make it, I'm going to basically, instead of doing like a 200 gig show, I'm just going to basically decide, okay, hey, this month I'm going to go for a weekend and do two shows in Brazil and just kind of always be touring, but not nonstop. Mm-hmm. I think it's inhumane and unnatural for people to blow out their voices, like Adele and all these people who, you know, no one was meant. You could be Shawn Mendes or Taylor when you're young and do 100 shows a year or 200, but that's kind of what I want to do. But my goal is, eventually, I would love to teach at somewhere like Northwestern. Mm-hmm. And what I want to do is, if I ever make it, I want to take people through the progression. This is my 8th year. And to say, hey, look, 8 years ago, I just sang. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I've been writing lyrics since 4th grade, but I didn't really understand songwriting, and I couldn't play an instrument. I would use loops, hire people to play guitar, and here's the progression where, hey, I learned to play the piano, you know, I learned to mix, and now basically the last year or so I've been doing everything myself. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's invaluable, because everybody thinks, I thought my voice sucked and I couldn't sing, but nobody had ever taught me the nuances of melody and all these different things. So I think if you can speak, you can sing. That's my end goal. Is in my day job, which I haven't revealed to the world, I'd like to do that for charity. Mm-hmm. And then I'd like to teach, and then I'd like to just keep putting out a song every month and a video and doing what I'm doing till the day I die, man. That's my goal.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That is a well thought out plan. And hey, man, I hope you get to that. I hope you make it. You got me rooting for you, because that was authentic, real right there. And that's amazing, man.
Thank you, man. Tell us about your long-term plan. What's your long-term plan?
Oh, my long-term plan involves, I want to be a show broadcaster for the NBA Finals, Super Bowl, World Series, Stanley Cup. I want to announce at WrestleMania. I want to be a ring announcer in the Octagon. I want to act in movies. I want to do TV shows. I want to create movies. I want to write an anime. I want to do a lot of things. And I'm just trying to piece it all together right now, but that's my plan. I want to dabble with everything, because I love it all.
That's awesome, man. And you know what?
Thank you.
Have you written any screenplays or anything yet?
Yeah, I've written a couple. I have notes everywhere, in my phone, in my laptop, written down in notebooks, on paper, everywhere you can think of. I have something written down, whether it's a movie, an anime, a book that I'm trying to write. You know, so I got pieces everywhere.
That's awesome. I've written a few screenplays. If either one of us ever kind of gets to the next step, I think we should definitely try to do a screenplay together, because it's hard at this stage, right? Because how much time does that take? And you know, it's going to go, I don't want to be negative because I'm usually positive, but you know, and I've been told this, unless you're in LA or New York, right? Mm-hmm. But if you have a little momentum behind you and you make some connections, then it's a little bit easier to say, hey, I've written 3 screenplays, or to write a new one and collaborate with 1 or 2 or 3 people, when you know that, hey, now it's got a 10% chance of being filmed.
Yeah, yeah, no, completely agree. And I actually went to film school for all that sort of stuff. So knowing some of the connections and understanding all the politics behind it and all that kind of stuff, I can completely agree with you on every point you just made. So, yeah.
All right, Matt. Well, when you're announcing the NBA Finals, and by the way, if you ever get to a Finals or Super Bowl, you don't have to give me free tickets. I'll pay for them. But just you know, that's been something I've wanted to do. And I almost went to the Bears Super Bowl back in, I think it was 06, when Hester returned the touchdown right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go, and I regretted it. And then I watched a game. And by the end, I was so depressed. I was like, thank God I didn't go. I would have, because I get really mad for like a couple hours when the Bears lose. I can't control myself.
Yeah. No, trust me. I get it. When the Giants lose, I'm unbearable to be around for that duration after that stinging loss. So
yeah.
I completely get it. And a Super Bowl of all, I couldn't.
Yeah. Anyway, not to rehash it, but
yep.
When you feel like, okay, they could win if they just run, why are they passing again? You know, and you're just kind of like,
yep.
I in my heart, and I don't want to piss off Indianapolis fans that are listening, but I was like, man, is he just letting Dungy win his first Super Bowl? I was like, why is he doing that? But
yep.
Anyway, you know, I'm a
pain man.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So you talked a little bit about connections.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the importance of connections you make, and how do you utilize them effectively, you think?
The importance of connection, well, you've got to know other people in different avenues of the things that you want to, especially in the entertainment business. There's just so many different aspects to it all. And the more people you know, the more your reputation can speak for by other people, you know, and it helps you in the long run because there's a lot of money invested in the entertainment world, and you don't really want to take a chance on somebody who isn't necessarily ready for that chance. And connections come into play with that. The way I utilize them is I try to help out everybody and try to learn a different aspect whenever I go out there and do something with somebody so that I can piece together a more refined resume and ultimately succeed in this business.
Okay. Yeah, no, I totally get that. And again, I get the business side of it, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
As much as 8 years ago, I released my first song, I thought, oh, it's going to go viral. I'm going to be a hit right away.
Mm-hmm.
The two things I've realized that I try to pass on to the audience. Number one, it takes 10 years to become an overnight sensation. So you got to keep getting at it. Number two, I try to take criticism and feedback from everybody, because Steve Martin had a great book. I don't know if you've read it, but you gotta be so good at your field that they can't ignore you anymore. So I've tried to keep getting better and better.
Exactly.
And you just never give up, man. I think that's the key. Just never give up.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing, is always knowing that you can, there's another level you can get to. You can get better than you were yesterday. You can do those things to really grow and perfect. You know, even if it takes you the rest of your life to perfect, eventually you can get there if you continue to work as hard as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, man. So if you could do one thing over in your life, and I'm not saying that it has to be to cover up a mistake or anything, but what's the one thing you would do differently if you could?
The one thing I would do differently if I could was the amount of dedication I put into my extracurricular activities, whether it be basketball, football, baseball, which I played all of them, my additional like schoolwork and stuff like that, really investing more time in all of that. I think would have helped me out a lot more. I think those are some solid things right there.
Okay.
That's a really good question. Can I flip it around at you? Cause I'm actually really curious to know what other people's thing would, if they could go back in time and do that. So.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, no. It is a great question. I'm just trying to think. Eventually, I want to reveal to the world like what I really do and, you know, my real age and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I can do that, I can give you a more honest answer, because there is a reason why I waited to do this until I was a little bit older. But the one thing that really got me going is my dad passed away from lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was this workaholic guy who's always working, doing several corporations, doing several things. And, you know, time kind of flies and life kind of passes you by. So as much as I've tried to, I am in the 99th percentile compared to my friends of spending time and enjoying the moment while also being a workaholic. So probably the biggest thing that I can talk about is I had a really big embezzlement where someone embezzled basically $1 million bucks for me for one of the companies that I had. and it literally put me back a decade. So probably the one thing, if I could do over, and I never thought it would happen to me because I had a good system of checks and balances, but I overextended myself with banks. So again, I don't want to annoy any bankers listening, but have as little debt as you need. And even if you're riding high and everything's growing and you're like, oh, I don't care if I have a big loan payment, I'm paying it, no problem. Man, you know, with all these bubbles, with 08, the real estate bubble, COVID, I think you probably should have at least 30, 50% equity in your home. You should have a savings. You should have cash on the side. And I was, even though I thought I was anticipating everything, I didn't do it as well as I can. And at the end of the day, I don't like blaming other people. So it all falls on me. So that'd be my mistake that I would warn people is, even if you're growing and, you know, always be humble, always take a step back, have a little cash, have a little in your savings, have here, and just don't overextend yourself.
That's brilliant. Yeah, no, I can appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem, man. So what kind of education or training is required to be a broadcaster?
That one's a little difficult for me to answer. I went to a film school here in Toronto, and they trained me in some aspects of voice acting in a booth in that type of light, and that's the only real broadcasting experience I kind of got. It's a funny story how I actually ended up on the radio. Long story short, the guy who is producing my show right now found me working at a company that I used to work for, and basically he just gave me a shot on live radio, and he was like, hey man, you say you know sports, you want this opportunity, go ahead, take it. And I did, and it's been a year plus now, so I think I did pretty well.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
You always see these movies, right? Like, oh, you know, Pretty Woman, right? Or people getting discovered in off the YouTube channel or something. So that's really cool. I love stories like that.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
No problem. What do you think you need to do to get people to take you seriously as a broadcaster? Is there some magic potion? Is there some...
Oh, that's a great question. I think my hard work, my dedication to my craft, my consistency is what's going to really A, grab people's attention, and B, take me serious, because they're gonna see how much I put into this, and how much I love what I do, and hopefully how good I do it, and believe that I might be the next sports voice for the next 50 years. So hopefully that's the secret potion, and that's just working hard.
Yeah, no, there's nothing like working hard. And I think we all know people that take shortcuts, and it's kind of annoying.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. One of the things that I like to ask every guest on the show is about scams. So tell us about a scam to warn our listeners about, other potential broadcasters, one that you might have fallen for, even one you didn't. Tell us about a scam that we should be wary of.
Well, I'm going to branch off a little bit from the broadcasting, because I've been well protected in the broadcasting realm by my producer. But the big one for me would be, for the young aspiring actors out there, be careful of the talent agencies you guys go after, just because I was almost scammed in a potential thing with a acting agency or a talent agency, where they were asking for money up front to kind of use their photographer in that light. So be mindful of who's asking for money and what they're asking the money for, because specifically with the acting world, agents should never be asking you for money up front. That is a huge no-no. And if you hear of that, run immediately.
Yeah. I think we've all fallen for crap like that, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember mine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have any doubt to that, other than, you know, it seems obvious, it seems intuitive, but when you're sitting there thinking about, oh, what's $100? This guy says $100, he'll get me on these Spotify playlists, or it just, you know, these scammers aren't just sitting there asking for $1,000 or $5,000. They will, you know, nickel and dime you to death. You think, yeah, $10, $20, and
yeah,
that's just as bad.
Yeah, it's just as bad, especially if they get you in a cycle where it's like, yeah, you do $10 this month, $10 next month, and, you know, we'll keep promoting your stuff. And you know, that stuff isn't going anywhere. You gotta do your due diligence.
Yeah. And it never ends. You know, I can tell you how it ends. I mean, what I did, I'm trying to remember, maybe 3 years ago, I don't remember the exact date, but I stopped all advertising, 100% completely. And I just said, you know what? I got to get better at my craft. So if I'm going to put any money into it, it's going to be on songwriting lessons, vocal lessons, just things that can actually help me, because I want to get to the point where I'm putting stuff out. And it's happening, because this year my stuff is going up another level just with my vocals. And by the end of the year, the stuff that's coming out is going to be even... And I listen to stuff I put out a year ago or 5 years ago, and I cringe. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, that's just my story. Other people, you know, marketing works. That's the problem, right? So I'm not telling other people to do that.
Yeah.
But I think the key is, if you know people that are connected, a manager, someone that can take care of you, and they want to see you succeed too, that's definitely, that'll save you years of heartache for sure.
Yes. Definitely. And I have a great mentor with me who's helping me. And I'm in the promoting stage, so I'm promoting my website. Again, for anybody who is interested in sports and wants to check that out, talking-sports.com. I can completely agree with what you're saying, and it pertains to being careful with advertising and all that sort of stuff, because it can set you back if you're not careful.
Yeah. So who would you rather be, Batman or Superman?
Batman. Easy question. I don't like Superman. Not a fan of Superman. I think he has too many powers. It's just kind of unfair at that point.
Yeah, yeah. I gotcha.
You can do everything. What about you?
I'm the same, Batman. Now, I have to be honest. When I was growing up as a kid, I wanted to be Superman badly.
That's fair.
And then I wanted to be like Luke Skywalker. And then I wanted to be Indiana Jones. And then, of course, now I'm just fantasizing about the Star Wars universe or the Marvel universe, or just someone calling me and me going on that Marvel workout plan and getting all ripped and shredded. And look, I think everybody, there's a big difference between fantasizing and trying to make something a reality. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people, they put stuff out. They're like, oh, those people don't know what they're talking about. I get it. Money works, connections work, but try to make yourself as good as you can until they just can't ignore you. That's the thing I tell everybody, because I think that's ultimately what you have to do.
Yeah, you gotta give yourself a chance. You gotta put yourself in the fight. So, yeah, I agree.
And I'll tell you, in the broadcasting world and the music world, competition is tough in the movie world.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched movies from 20 years ago, and now it's like even shows that are duds, I'm like, wow, that was hilarious. So everything is about their market research. Oh, did this appeal to this? Ultimately, how many sponsors did it get? How many viewers did it get? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not worth the second season. But man, yeah, there's a little luck and timing and support behind it. But
it is.
Competition's fierce in anything nowadays.
Yep, it is. It is a dog-eat-dog business. You know, you got to be on your toes pretty much all the time in order to get anywhere.
Yeah, and it's tough. But again, I don't like ever being negative. I think we focus on the positive, control what you can control. And at the end of the day, if you're living a good life and you're happy with your day job, with whatever you're doing, look, if it doesn't work out for you, at least you gave it your best shot. You know, that's really all you want to, you don't want to have regrets on your deathbed. That was one big thing I didn't want to regret and be like, I never gave this a shot. Or, you know, you half-ass it. I think we've all been guilty of that. Certain days, certain times, but it just, you got to keep rededicating yourself.
Yeah, you got to reignite that passion to get yourself to the next level. I completely agree.
Yeah. You kind of already mentioned this, but I was going to ask you, tell us about your website, where people can reach out to you, hear your show, your socials, whatever you want to share with the fans, please.
Yeah, for sure. So again, my website is talking-sports.com, where you can listen to me live. You can log on. You can go onto the website. There's a big microphone icon. You can click that. It'll take you to a direct link to the show, which is every Tuesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. The website you want to go to listen to the radio show is realityradio101.com. My socials at Real Roberts on both Twitter and Instagram. Again, you can find that on the website, again, which is talking-sports.com, located at the bottom of the page. I think that's pretty much everything you need to find me.
That's awesome, man. I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight. You're a great guest.
No, thank you for having me. I had a blast. It's an amazing show. Again, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And everyone out there, please check out his show. I think you're going to be very impressed. So,
yeah, I think so too. Hopefully I can live up to expectations. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you will, man. So to any listeners out there, If you wish to be on the Songwriter Show, please just reach out to me. Otherwise, thank you for listening. I hope everyone's unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show. And tonight, I'm going to leave you with one of my songs. You guys all know I put out a new song and video and book chapter and poem every month. This month, I did something I've never done before. So the song was called Journey, but it's got three versions. So the first version was Journey Through the Clouds. Yesterday, I released the second version called Journey Through the Ocean, and you can check it out here. Imagine the water flowing across your cheek as you glide through the depths of the ocean, interacting with the gentle beauty below the surface of the ocean. This song's inspired by the ocean, something I was fearful of when I was a kid. I eventually outgrew it and then would spend hours in the deepest parts of the ocean with absolutely no supervision in Greece. The ocean is mysterious, spiritual, and beautiful all at the same time. And just like the different voices flow together to bring you one piece of music, the swelling nature of this song will leave you with an overall vibe that feels chilling yet cathartic. The layered melodies are moody but cooperative and stir an emotion of peace and harmony. This is something you'd hear in a dream as you swim through the soft green blue ocean with dolphins all around you. So I hope you guys enjoy it. I love you guys. Have a great night, and I'll see you guys next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.